This is Hannah.
This is Rachel.
And this is
What I'd Like to Tell People.
Have you been feeling curious about connecting with your spiritual side? Are you having difficulty trusting your intuition? It could be time to test your skepticism and meet with a spiritual medium. Three-Eyed Bob offers personalized, intuitive readings to help you better understand your journey and identify the unseen forces assisting you along the way. As featured on our first episode of this season, Three-Eyed Bob provides a fresh approach to mediumship that focuses on identifying realistic connections to your current life circumstances. Check out threeeyedbob.com for more information about services offered and to book your virtual reading session today. That's threeeyedbob.com, found in our episode notes.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Hannah.
How was your week?
It was what it was. But the good news is I got to hang out with a duck on Saturday and see a blue crane. So that was nice.
Was it Donald?
No. Oh, well, yes. Yes, it was Donald. He was not scared of me. So I guess I was his Daisy. So,
His Daisy, did you say?
His Daisy, because isn't Donald and Daisy duck?
Yeah. I didn't know if you said his date or his Daisy, so that's why I was asking.
Could be both, I guess, if she said yes to the date. I didn't say yes. He just kind of was there cleaning himself. So I kind of was in his, and I was intruding on his space. Anyways, how was your week?
It was good. This past weekend, I had a family reunion, and we've not been together since pre-pandemic. I think it was like 2019 in like February, maybe. So, because we were planning on hanging our, like, being in the house that we were at April 2020. And then it had been like a year or more since we had seen each other. So I had a little cousin that I've never met, so I got to meet her. And then also my cousin's other daughter, I have met her, but she doesn't remember meeting me. But she said that she was my best friend. We are now, you know, best friends, and we played this like family game, like how well do you know your family? And so we got to kind of like pick the cards of questions, and one was like, who's your best friend? And so like I had them like guess her so she could feel a little special.
That's so nice.
Yeah. So, and it was really sad. She cried a little, she had a little tear in her eye whenever she hugged me goodbye, so I told her that I'll send her a postcard when I go to Greece next week. So I will have to remember to send her and her siblings some postcards. So hopefully I'll be able to do that. I assume I can find some place to send a postcard. So, yeah. So that was my week. I got to see family that, like, I've seen them. Like, I FaceTimed with some of them, and I've, you know, talked to some on the phone, and I've actually seen some of them, but we hadn't all been in the same room in ages. And so it was really nice. And unfortunately, my mom's cousin couldn't make it because we were supposed to have a couple more people. And then some people have passed away. So that's kind of sad. And it was the one really neat thing my mom figured out last night, that we actually booked the trip on her sister's birthday. And my Aunt Kathy she was always big on having us all together and like planning these type of reunions. And so we didn't even realize that we booked the house on her birthday.
So it was kind of like meant to be.
Maybe in the moment we did, but it was like a really cool thing.
Yeah, it was like meant to be. Who knows?
Yeah, it was like she kind of planned it.
Yeah, like she planned it for you guys without like you even knowing.
Yeah. So she was definitely present. We definitely talked about her a lot. It's like sad that she doesn't get to be there with us or like doing it because that's what she really loved. And so that you know, she was definitely missed. But anyway, I don't want to bring this episode down, but you were actually sick last week when we did this interview. Are you feeling better?
I had to skip improv yesterday because my sinuses were just so bad. And it's just, I don't know. I feel a lot better, right? But it's to the point where I'm like, if this weather could just stick to whatever it wants to be, I think I'll feel a lot better. But right now, it's getting there. Hopefully it's just allergies. So
yeah. And people will actually hear you at the end because today we're re-recording the ending because her business name has changed. So she explains that in the episode, but we'll kind of go into more detail. So it's kind of like a in process type of episode. So
it's kind of fun.
But it's a good episode.
Fun and eclectic.
Hello, everyone. We are here with Noelle Johnson, and she found us on Instagram. I guess you found us another way, but today's the first day I've met you, and unfortunately, Rachel is out sick, so it's just me for today's interview, so we'll see how it goes. This is like a first, so first like one-on-one, but you're here to kind of talk about how you redo vintage furniture or like thrifting, and also you just purchased a new place in Dunbar, West Virginia, and it's called, is it called Shops of Dunbar?
We're changing the name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it will be
you
called.
You hear it first. No,
yeah, you've heard it first here. Yeah. It will be called the Eclectic Goods Market.
Oh, okay. So, and it has 120 different like booths, is that correct? Or did I?
Well, right now I think we're at about 80. We have spaces for up to 120, and we've actually added probably 15 new vendors within the last 2 weeks. So we are expanding at an astronomical rate.
Well, that's really awesome. So how did you get started?
So I have been thrifting and yard selling and exploring my thrifty options since I was a child. My mother was always very thrifty. My grandparents were thrifty. And so on the weekends we would, go to yard sales and we would go to thrift stores and flea markets. And it's just always been something that I've enjoyed. Not only, you know, because I save money, but because it reminds me of my childhood and my grandparents and my mom. And it just is something that's ingrained in me. And I love finding something thrifty and making it into something that's a showstopper. So, I've always done that. But since I was about 18, I've always had a vintage booth at various like antique malls or places like that. And so recently, an opportunity arose and I decided to buy a whole mall. So here we are.
As one does. So what kind of vendors are there? Is it just people that are doing like reselling or crafts or what is it?
So we have lots of different vendors. It could range. Our new name is Eclectic Goods Market, so I wanted to be all encompassing. We've specialized in vintage and antique items, but not only that, we have crafters, we have artisans, we have anything from leather workers to t-shirt makers to woodworkers. We're really open to anything and anything that promotes the arts. And with that, we also have a large venue, a stage area that we're hoping to utilize for live music, hopefully craft beer and wine tastings, if I can find some good partners. You know, I want it to be a hub for the arts and a place where we can promote each other, where us artisans can come together and really share the wealth and just promote ourselves and get that out into the public, because a lot of people don't have that exposure and we want to be a hub for that for people.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. So do you do, like, you can come for, like, one day, you can come for a week, like, vendor-wise, like, how does that work?
We typically have, we have a contract where you sign on for, like, 3 months. We have various options, so you can sign on as a consigner, and we can set you up at a consigner rate, or we can do, like, a booth rate where you actually rent a booth. But I am exploring options to do like quarterly markets where, artisans and dealers can come set up for a day. And we have a huge market with food trucks and things of that nature. And we're also in the works of opening a cafe there. So,
that will be really nice.
It's a one-stop shop.
Yeah. I think having like that, cafe, the beer, things like that will really bring people in because they're not just coming to shop. It's like they can come shop a little bit, eat lunch or have like a snack and then continue to shop.
Yes. And we want it to be an event space, and a place where, you know, we're not only exploring these different artisans, but where friends meet, where we come together and explore the arts together and become, you know, like a little hangout.
Yeah, like ladies going to lunch and then they're like shopping and everything. Yeah.
Yes.
That sounds really cool. I'll have to stop by. So
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah. I'll be coming into West Virginia in like 2 weeks because I'm in the DC area. But I don't know. I'll try to make it. If not, sometime this summer
I'm sure your schedule is full when you come to West Virginia.
Yeah, everybody wants. And the problem is like I'm from Boone County. So it's kind of far. And all my friends live in like the Charleston area and Huntington area. Yes. And they always want to hang out. And I'm like, I really don't want to drive. You know, I wish they lived where my parents live, but everybody's moved out. And it's like, I'm already visiting like family and then I have to like try to fit friends in. And sometimes I'm
just get
like,
that. Yeah.
I can't. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's funny that you say that because I'm originally from Eastern Kentucky.
A little town. Okay.
Yeah. From a little town called Louisa.
I've heard
and,
of that.
And actually we have a hometown boy who is on American Idol and who has made it to the top 11. So,
oh, really? Because I had a hometown girl on American Idol, but she didn't make it. But that's so cool.
We were hoping that they would bring her back. We were all really hoping for that. But everyone asked me, they're like, are you from Boone County? I'm like, no, I'm from Eastern Kentucky. My like, accent.
Is that why? I was like, what else do they, you know? Yeah, I feel like, well, my dad has more of a thicker accent than me, but my mom's actually from Northern Pennsylvania. So I feel like whenever I was going to college and my roommate, we didn't know each other. And she found out, her friends found out that I was from Boone County. And they're like, she's going to have such a thick Southern accent and like all kinds of stuff. And then she met me and she was like, I was really disappointed. I thought you were going to be, you know, I was like, I'm sorry to disappoint.
So sorry.
Right. But I like, I've been to, whenever I was in Huntington, we used to go to like Kentucky to go to the movie theater and like, that over the line. And I feel like I've seen ads for Louisa. I'm trying to think what is in there. I feel like I see a lot of local ads and I'm trying to.
We have a nice golf course.
Okay. Maybe
who's, I've heard it's like, highly rated. I don't know all the details. My husband does, but I don't. And we are the home of Ricky Skaggs, country musician. We have a huge gas station that people call the castle, but if you're from Louisa, you call it the birdhouse.
Oh. it sound tiny. It's like everyone.
Oh yeah. Oh no, it's a monstrosity. It's so huge. But yeah, locals call it the birdhouse. Travelers call it the castle. I'm trying to think of, Tyler Childers is from, I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's from Lawrence County, Louisa area.
I tried to like message him to come on the show and he's too big, I guess.
Oh, he is so big. Yeah. Oh, I know a good one. Luna and the Mountain Jets. That would be a good one to have on because they're friends.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. I've got the hookup there.
Yeah.
Luna and the Mountain Jets, Laid Back Picker. They've helped him kind of hone his musical talents. And it's actually my best friend's parents, but they're very tight.
Well, hook me up.
I could possibly do that.
Yeah, please do.
But and that's something too. I'm friends with a lot of musicians, and I've got some ties to music, so that's something too that we really want to integrate within our new business.
So what's I want to call it?
Oh, okay. I don't know what I want to call it.
What's your new venture? I guess. What's the space like? I've never been there.
Okay, so our building is giant. It's old and it has its issues, but we are making it a great space. It used to be the old Fad Furniture building.
Oh.
A lot of people know it as the Fad Furniture building. Before that, it was like a Gravely lawn
tractor.
Yeah, I was going to say, I listened to the podcast about your dad and the lawnmower. So.
Yes, you finally got a new one.
But it used to house that as well. And so I think it sat vacant for a while. Which can cause issues. But the owner who had it before me, she worked so hard and really just kind of transformed the space. She took it down to, you know, to the bare bones. And so we are redoing and refinishing things like every day. Vendors that come in, we give them the freedom to paint, to build walls, you know, to do installations, kind of anything they want to do to make it their own. So that's the good part about it.
So why did she sell it? Or do you want to get into that?
Well, that's fine. She had some health issues and okay. I had been a vendor there and I kind of, you know, I'm not originally from here. So I just kind of am under the radar. I do my business and, you know, just go on and I observe. And she had fallen sick and she really couldn't, you know, it's a lot to take on. So she really was ready to kind of step back and do something that was a little less stressful. And at the same time, I just kind of came to her and I said, you know, if you ever think that you may want to sell the business or you may want to get out of this, please let me know because this is my dream. It's been my dream since I can remember. And she said, funny you should say that. My husband and I were actually talking to you about this.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh. You know, that was like a divine intervention.
Like a serendipity. So. Is that what it's like? Serendipity? Yeah.
Yes.
Moment.
So it's been a huge undertaking and we're taking it one day at a time, but my love of vintage, my love of furniture and redoing and making things that were old new again, you know, I'm finally getting to live that out. So
it's exciting. Are you still able to do like the furniture or is it just so much that you can't?
I am.
Oh, okay.
I am doing it. Am I doing it to the fullest extent that I was before? No. Because the business side has kind of taken over. But I do, my husband helps me a lot and I have, some good friends that I've kind of enlisted and family to help me with that. So with their help, yes, I'm still out picking and thrifting and finding my things, just not as much as before.
Do you ever buy from like a vendor? Do they ever have any good finds?
Oh my gosh, yes, all the time. Like that's the bad part because I'm spending all my profits on other vendors' items. I'm keeping everybody in business.
Well, that's good, I guess. Did your husband, is this his full-time job too, or does he have something outside?
Actually, no, he has his own landscaping and lawn care business. Oh, so, Wow. Yeah. I said, thank goodness you have a strong back because we're always moving furniture. But he's really the one who encouraged me and said, you know, you need to be doing this. This makes you happy. You know, you can't deny this anymore. So, because I'm a scaredy cat. I've worked in education, for many, many years. I write grants and oversee federal grants.
So you do that on top of everything. Do you still do that?
I am still doing that, but do I want to do that forever? No.
It seems like a whole lot. You guys are
constantly
busy.
Once I kind of get things, you know, settled down, I'm hoping that I can officially resign from that and do this full time. And I think that's, I mean, I know that's going to happen. It's just going to be a matter of time. So
yeah,
I've got to keep my vendors happy.
So how else do you sell your stuff? Like, you sell your stuff at your location, I guess, your new place. Yes. And then yes. Do you sell online too, or just strictly in person?
Yes, I have a website, okay. And that's still under my old kind of business name, which is Shop Noel J, shopnoelj.com. I sell on Facebook, and I also do eBay. Which I do a lot of eBay for a lot of my vintage items that are, you know, higher priced, because we don't always have the market for that here.
Right.
eBay's the biggie. And then if I'm feeling frisky, Facebook, but I have a pretty good clientele now at our location. So
yeah, I'd be nervous, like the Facebook marketplace, like, cause you have to meet the people.
Yeah.
Any crazy stories?
Well, just a lot of no-shows a lot of no-shows, basically.
Can you tell them to, like, meet at your shop versus, like...
Well, a lot of, yeah, that's typically what I do now. But I've also bought a lot of things on Facebook Marketplace, mm-hmm. and my profile picture is of me and my husband, and I mean, you know, I'm always about promoting women and, you know, women's business, but they always think I'm a man because my profile picture is myself and my husband. Oh. I'm like, no, I'm a girl.
Are they like shocked when they see you?
Yeah. Yeah. And they're like, you mean to tell me that you do this furniture business? I'm like, yeah, I do. Yeah.
I was gonna say, I know a lot of women that do it versus men.
It is now, but when I was younger, a lot of antique dealers were older gentlemen. Mm-hmm. And so whenever I would know, oh, hey, that's a piece of depression glass, and, or, you know, I could spout things off, they were always shocked.
Yeah. But it's good to shock people, I feel like.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's a great feeling.
I'm great at that.
Yeah. No, it's great. So besides, like, just growing the, what did you call it? An eclectic?
Eclectic Goods Market. Yeah.
Eclectic Goods Market. So mm-hmm. growing that. So you see it having vendors, like monthly thing, events, music, the craft beer. Is that just like, I guess, other than that, do you have any other plans? Because I feel like that's a lot of plans. So I don't.
Well, you know, I'm all about just trying to promote the business. So, which I've kind of fallen off the wagon. I'm trying to get the following on my Instagram and, you know, trying to monetize the business any way that I can. And part of that is kind of showing what our day to day is and what some of my vendors do, what I'm doing. So I'm working on that. But really just getting the word out, because we have new customers every day that say, we didn't even know you were here. And
yeah, I didn't realize. I mean, I guess I kind of did because of the person I talked about, but I didn't know that that's where, you know,
yeah,
it was. My yeah. parents were like, oh, that's where he is. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. Spread the word.
Yeah. So that's the hard part. It's like, you know, the previous owner, she's put ads on the radio. She's on Facebook, you know, so very much. She's done newspaper articles, and people still are like, oh, we didn't know about you. And so getting the word out has been tough.
I think the events, like if you have live music and people are yeah. posting it on Facebook and Instagram and like things like that will really help. And have you thought about kind of pairing with local businesses?
I have. And that's kind of how when I reached out to you, I was like, oh.
Yeah, because I do West Virginia.
Which I have some other antique dealers that I'm working with, and we're kind of sharing the wealth. And like I say, there's room at the table for everyone. But I'm also looking into, I would love to have some local places, like there's a new place in Cross Lanes, Breathe Wine something. I forget the exact name, but it's the cutest little wine bar. They have craft beers. And so I think that would be a dream partnership if we could kind of come together to promote the wine and the beer and the arts. So that's something that I'm looking into. And there's some local breweries, well, mostly in Beckley, which is kind of far, but I would love to partner with Kinship Goods. Holler at me. Yeah.
Have you reached out to them?
I have. I've worked on that. I haven't heard back. Rock City, I think that we could do something great.
If you want me to message anybody, because we've interviewed all these people.
Yeah, I know.
I will.
And actually, that's how I found you, because I heard the first podcast I heard was the Rock City interview, and I was like, oh my gosh, then I need to do this, because
she's a great supporter of local businesses.
Yes. And yes. And that's the kind of vibe that I'm going for, is to the young. I want to reach out to like our late 20s, early 30s. Well, not early 30s, early 40s group.
Have you thought about even kind of partnering with schools, like high schools, like doing some sort of thing where like high schoolers can sell? And
yeah, actually, we're looking for a muralist or a couple of muralists to maybe do the outside of our building, because our location, it's kind of hard to find us. And I thought, well, that's one way we could stand out.
Yeah, brighten it up. So,
yeah, so we've reached out to some local high schools because we have that education connection. We have lots of teachers who are vendors too. So, so that's on the horizon. And it's been like a month, and I feel like I'm pulled in a million different directions. But those are some things we're definitely working on. And if you have any other ideas, I would love to hear them.
I'm trying to think. Like, I feel like, yeah, partnering. Because if you partner with, like, the kids and stuff, like, they'll post and they'll bring in, or, you know, and, like, they have followers and, like,
and make it. It's funny you say that, because the other day we had a few younger kids in. And I didn't realize what I did until after. And I was like, oh, but they were in, and like, I have all this like candy that kids like, you know, like Sour Patch Kids, the Swedish Fish, that kind of stuff. And I was like, hey guys, like if you'll post something about this, you know, our store, I'll give you some free candy. And I was like, oh wait, I just sounded like a total creeper.
You want some candy, kids?
You want some candy, kids?
Yeah. Well, but I mean, maybe you can get, like, whenever you do have, like, the events and you sell tickets, you could give out free tickets for, you know, certain things.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah. Because people love free tickets. And if you're, you know, the first person that follows or, like, vote, you know. And then also, you know, I see people do those, like, cutest baby competition type things. You could do something like that. Maybe not cutest baby, but that way people are sharing their stuff or like vote on your favorite thing.
Cutest pet contest.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm all about that.
Yeah, because I feel like you don't see that often, and that would be, you know, a good.
Yeah. And two, we want to do like some art shows and things. I think that would be super neat to just.
You should try to partner with Marshall University. They have a really great art program.
Oh, that's a great idea. Writing that one down too.
Because not that far. How far? Like Dunbar is what, like 30 minutes from Huntington or
something? Yeah. Something, I mean.
And Huntington has a really big, like, art. I'm going to, like, after this, I'm going to message my friend Lindsay Emmett. I've, like, interviewed her. But she does a lot of art shows and a lot of, like, the vending. She has a company. So I feel like she would be, like, she probably wouldn't, like, have a store there full time. But if you did the, like, once a month or something, I bet she would totally.
Oh, that would be great. There,
she lives in Huntington.
Yeah.
And she knows some other people, too.
Yeah. Any connections that are in this scene and would love to expand and promote and share, I'm all about.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I mean, I think also, like, if you ever did like fairs and stuff yourself, would probably be good.
I have
to
been.
Like have.
Yeah.
And like get the word out.
It's so much work. But actually I just did one this Saturday, and I think that I found 2 to 3 new vendors. So,
oh.
Yeah. So I was really excited about that. And on top of that, the clients that, you know.
Yeah. One thing you could do is if you didn't want to be a vendor yourself, just start going to all those art fairs, the pumpkin festival, yeah. and just go and ask me, like, do you want to do this more?
Oh, yeah.
And, like, hand your card.
Yeah. There was a, they had one not long ago. It was somewhere in Dunbar at like a church. And I was like, hi, here's my card. I'm buying this business. Come join me. And they were like, yeah, okay. But yeah, that's the key, I think, is just getting out and pounding the pavement yourself. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the more people that like hear about it. And then I think also, I mean, I mentioned this before, but like the live music, I feel like could bring in so many people.
Yeah. I'm hoping I can convince a few of my friends that are musicians to do it pro bono.
Right.
We'll see. Yeah.
You could also like do certain charity events too.
Yeah.
Speaking of, you know, like, and that could bring in people.
And that's something that's kind of close to my heart because, I've worked in education, but also like on the nonprofit side, I've kind of done things that are like resources to families within school systems and things like that. So I always have a heart for charity or, you know, reaching out to places that I can see the difference. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, I worked on the west side of Charleston at the Bopperdette Center, and that's a place that's near and dear to my heart. So
What is that exactly?
So that is an after-school program, and it's operated on the west side of Charleston. They have various locations, but they do like homework help and, you know, various activities. And actually, that would be a good person or a good place to interview.
And it was Bob Burdette
Center.
Okay, yeah, I'll have to check them out. We're almost finished with this season. We only have like 2 more spots. And then we take a summer break. We've been pretty lucky this season that we've not had like skip a week or anything because we've had to do that before. And I'm actually going to Greece in 2 weeks.
That's
so
exciting.
And I'm going for like 2 weeks. Yeah, I'm super excited. But we're not completely finished with the podcast, so we'll have to take like a break. Your episode will actually air the first day I'm in Greece.
Oh. What day is that?
May 12th.
May 12th. Okay, I'll write that down. My kids think it's like the coolest thing ever. They're like,
what, the podcast?
Yeah, they're like, you're going to be on a podcast, Mom?
How old are your kids?
My oldest is 13, and then my youngest is 11, so... Yeah, and I make them listen. Like, we don't listen to music in the car anymore. It's pretty much all podcasts. I mean, we do listen to music, but I'm like, oh, I gotta hear this episode, guys. So
they've heard my voice.
Yes, yes, they have. They're like, oh, you're gonna be on that one. I'm like, yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah. So if you want to give them a shout out, so when they listen,
I will. Okay. Hey, Rush, Rafe, and Rosalind, this is your mama saying hello on this like fancy podcast.
Listen up.
Yeah.
That's funny. So are they excited that you have started this or like bought this new building and stuff?
They are. And it's funny. When I first told my daughter, she was like, okay, Mom, I want to come work for you, but you need to do an interview first. So I'd like to set my interview up for tomorrow at 4:05. Is that okay? And I was like, okay. And then she comes to me and she made her own little resume. And it was like the cutest thing ever. And she's like, okay, what questions are you going to ask me? I need to prepare. But
she's going to be like a businesswoman when she grows up.
She's an entrepreneur. We got an entrepreneurial spirit. I inherited that from my grandfather, and I think she's taken that from me. So she's all about making a dollar.
Well, and I think like watching you take this business will be really amazing for her. You know,
I hope so. And I was kind of joking with them the other day. I'm like, look, guys, one day this could all be yours. And they're like,
you sound like my dad. If you ever need to rent a U-Haul, let me know. I can hook you up.
Well, that's good to know because I'm always.
Or mobile container. If you need a mobile container,
or
too.
If he wants to get rid of some of his leftover items that people don't pay for. I'm your girl.
Okay. Yeah. I'll let him know. Yeah. Every once in a while, there's some good, you know, fine.
Yeah.
And then there's also drug stuff, too. And people have left, like, bags of pee and, like, really gross things. There's been so many things.
Well, it's funny you say that because I went to this, it was a flea market, which it's not there anymore, but it was in St. Albans, and I bought this desk, and I was, you know, I was sanding it down and redoing it, and it had a drawer in it, but I hadn't really paid attention to it. I opened the drawer, and there's like this little like pouch, and I opened the pouch, and there's like this glass thing in it, and I'm like, what is this? And then I pull it out, and I'm like, I don't know what a crack pipe is, but I think that might be one.
Oh my God.
It was definitely drug paraphernalia of some sort. And I was like, what do I do with this? Like, if I throw it in my trash, then people are going to think it's mine. What do I do?
Yeah, like, I promise it's not mine. It's not mine. And they're like, sure.
Yeah, that was the Seinfeld episode right there.
Yeah, they're like, sure it is. That's so funny that they didn't like open. I wonder if someone's missing.
I'm sure they were.
Yeah, it's interesting what people like leave behind.
Oh my gosh, like, yeah. Well, the other day we were at the market and we were cleaning out some things that someone had left, and we found $110 and a little coin purse or a little trinket box that had it had money and it had a bunch of change in it, and we didn't think it was anything. We're getting ready to throw it in the trash, and it was like,
yeah,
$110. Like, oh my gosh.
And then you wonder how many times money has been thrown away.
Right. Right. Maybe we wouldn't have that huge deficit if I kid.
Right. Yeah. No, it's great. I feel like, I don't know, that there's sometimes you can find like a lot of things, like the storage wars. My dad's always like, that's set up. Like, yeah. Nobody ever has like that wow factor or whatever in every single one. I mean, granted, there are some times where it's like somebody's like grandmother died and they didn't want to bother it, and there's like some antiques there.
Yeah.
And it can be really nice. But a lot of times it's just like, stuff. And then sometimes people will put like their dirty dishes in boxes and store them. Mm. And like, that just has to be thrown away. Like, yeah. And sometimes people will store their washer and dryer and they'll be like a load of clothes.
Oh my gosh. I bet that smells horrendous. Like,
you didn't think, you didn't think to get that out. Like, it's really weird sometimes. I'm just like, I don't know. Some people just throw their stuff in storage and then walk away.
Yeah. They're like, oh, well. Who cares?
I mean, good for my dad, I guess, if people, you know, they rent when they have nothing, or not when they have nothing, but like just put things in.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. So he has things that can be redone. He has so many like old mirrors and old like things that nobody really wants to buy, but I feel like people could buy and redo.
And that's, you know, that's a lot of what I do is I take, you know, junk and make it into something that, you know, somebody might want to buy. Or,
right,
you know, and that's,
you make it into a treasure.
I make it into a treasure. And when people walk into my house, I like for them to say, oh man, you have so many cool things. And like, that's my goal, is to find neat things to put them in your home, to make it, you know, neat and different than everyone else. You know, we all love Hobby Lobby, but I don't want Hobby Lobby art in my home. I want right. art that someone has created, or a piece that someone, you know, a piece of pottery that someone has thrown and taken time, and there's a story to it. You know, I joke, there's a picture of a cat. It's a huge portrait in my bathroom, and everybody's like, that cat is so creepy. I'm like, that cat is awesome. I filmed that cat portrait like years ago, and I had a cat and his name was Sawchuck, and he looked exactly like this portrait, and I was like, this is my cat, okay? He's just making sure you make it out of the bathroom okay.
So do you think someone like had a portrait made of their cat, and then like maybe they died and somebody was like, I don't want those.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what I love those unique pieces. Or I used to have this portrait of a sailor, and my whole family has like strawberry blonde or red hair, and everyone's like, is that do you know this person? I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, that's my great uncle. You know, I would just make up stories, but, and I had this giant key and we used to call it the key to Charleston. It was like this big gold key. I'm like, yeah, that's the key to Charleston. And if I don't have a story, I'll make it up.
Yeah. No, that sounds fun. You'll have to like have that for your business too. Like have some story about, you know.
And if you tell a story about something, people are more likely to purchase it. So.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. It gives it not clout, but it gives, you know, it makes it seem real.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It definitely gives it clout. Yeah.
Have you, that kind of reminds me, didn't watch it, so I probably shouldn't bring it up, but there was something like on Netflix, I think, some sort of documentary of this woman selling art and saying that it cost way more than it did and saying that it was like different and like the art people, like it's just if you make something seem more expensive, you know, then they want to buy it.
Yeah.
And it's like fraud
in
a way, but at the same time they're like, it really is worthless until you say it's not.
Exactly.
And I think that was like the moral of the story.
Yeah, you know? I haven't seen that, but I have some pieces of garden art that I recently purchased. And I've been looking for this for years. And someone asked me, they're like, how much are you selling that? And I have it as a display in at the market. And I'm like, it's for sale. And this is its sale price. And they're like, oh my gosh, that's too much. I'm like, that's my let it go price. If you want to pay that price for it, then you want it more than me. But otherwise, I would just want to keep it.
That's a good, I like that, your let it go price.
There's just some pieces that you search and search and search for, and they're getting harder to find. Like, I mean, it's a garden. This specific piece is just like a wrought iron arch, but it's patinaed and it looks storied. And it's just something that I love. And for me to get rid of it, I don't really care if I do. But if they want to pay that price, then okay.
Hopefully it's not in a place that people can steal, because then they're going to be like, oh, it's expensive.
They would have a hard time stealing this one.
Okay.
But now, opposite to that, I do try to keep my prices low. But for certain items, that they have the let it go price.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially if you've put a lot of work into it. Not saying anybody wants my like moss art, but it's like I put...
Oh. Like, I think that's
3 weeks into that,
you
know, like that took a long time. It took at least 10 full hours, if not more, maybe more than that. It took quite a bit.
And that's what my vendors, you know, sometimes we get complaints. They're like, why is this piece of wood so much? I'm like, because you don't realize the time, you know, not only did they need to go source that piece of wood, on top of that, they had to plan what they were going to do with it. They had to buy the materials. They had to take their time to do it. And then they had to price it. They had to, you know, they had to get it here. So sometimes people aren't happy with prices, but we do need to honor our artisans and the work and thought they put into those pieces. So, yes,
right.
I get that.
And I know it's hard, like, being like, oh, I really don't want to pay, you know, I don't have the money for that and pay that. But I always try to like also remember their time is worth a lot.
Yes.
And like, if I can't afford something, you know, I'm not going to barter with that artist and be like, oh, can I, you know, I know you said 50, but can I really just give you 20? And, you know, because that's like really downgrading.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's something I hate when people are like, well, make me an offer. And I'm always like, I don't want to offend you because I'm a cheapskate. I'll just be honest. I'm a cheapskate. I don't want you to be offended. But this is what I can afford right now, you know, that's the thing is like, I so appreciate the time and effort that are put into these things, but we also know not everyone can afford those prices. That is why we're going to offer layaway at Eclectic Goods Market.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So that's on the horizon.
It's time to talk about tea.
I'm going to spill the tea.
No, I'm going to talk about the t-shirts and merch we have for sale on our website, whatidliketotellpeople.com.
Oh man, I wanted to hear some juicy gossip, but I do think our t-shirts are pretty juicy. Even though it is getting warmer outside, people can still buy our hoodies for those cool spring days.
People can also receive 15% off by using our listener code TELLINGPEOPLE found in our episode notes.
And back to our show. Noelle, what would you like to tell people?
I would like to tell people that Eclectic Goods Market is a unique antique and artisan mall. We have something for everyone. We're currently seeking new vendors and artisans. You can follow us on our Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at Eclectic Goods Market. We're like a unique antique mall, an antique mall if it were Vans and Ray-Bans. So everyone come and see us. We're going to do a big grand opening sometime in late summer. So everyone come out and see us in Dunbar, 1401 Charles Avenue.
And where can they follow you on social media?
And follow us. Instagram is just Eclectic Goods Market. TikTok is at Eclectic Goods Market. We're fortunate enough to get all those handles. And Instagram is also at Eclectic Goods Market. So follow us there. And anyone who is interested in becoming a vendor can email me at eclecticgoodsmarket@gmail.com.
So you were even able to get that?
Yeah, I did my research first.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No, I'm extremely excited to see where this will go.
Me too. We've signed almost 17 new vendors now.
Congrats. In the past week?
Yeah. Well, in the past probably 3 weeks, we're up to 17 currently. Not all booths, but some are consigners who have, you know, they don't have enough for a full booth, but we have at least 17 unique items that have not been there previously. So we're super excited.
Yeah. And I saw your new video on TikTok with you showing the different things. So I'm excited to see the process of everything.
It's going to be an interesting journey because we have this giant warehouse and there's so much work to be done and it's overwhelming, but I'm just trying to do it inch by inch. So we're getting there. We're not perfect, but we're getting there.
Yeah. No, that's so exciting.
You guys have to come visit.
Yes,
please. Road trip.
Definitely, yes. And have you gotten more people involved, like, with painting your mural or anything since last
time? Actually, we have. I've had several people reach out to us to volunteer because my idea, we've kind of developed some things in that aspect. I'm thinking, like, of doing a patchwork of murals on the building because the building is huge. That way we could showcase
that's a cool idea.
Many artists and not just one. And today, actually, I got our official logo. And I think we're going to do a contest to see if any of our customers can guess what our mascot is going to be. So that should be
how
fun
can
and
people
interesting.
Do that? Do you have
it's
that set
be
up or
neat.
No?
Oh. I'm sorry, what was that?
How can people do that? Like people listening, can they guess?
Yes, we're going to post that on our Facebook at Eclectic Goods Market. We'll have more details coming soon. And we're going to do the unveiling officially at our grand opening. So just be on the lookout for the contest rules and guidelines for that. So coming soon.
Well, thank you so much for coming back and doing the
thank
ending.
You.
And I'm just
thank
excited
you for
to see
allowing
you.
Me to do this because I was, it's been a whirlwind. So on top of doing this, we're doing a whole new cash register system and I'm trying to keep new, you know, keep the old vendors and.
Is it hard to keep them happy?
Yeah.
I'm sure they don't like change.
Well, actually, they're eager for change because things were not so great before. But I just have to prove to them, you know, like, this is different. It's going to be okay.
It's going
to
be okay this time. Yeah.
I've got my ducks in a row, I swear.
But I think it's going to be great, yeah.
I think so, too. I think we're on an interesting journey, and I feel like I've got the right people there to help us progress.
I was going to say thank you again, though, for also contacting us, too, and reaching out. It was awesome to see that message and to see someone listening. So,
I'm an avid listener.
I love it. So, yeah, if you have other people. Yeah,
it's connected me to, things that I didn't know about, businesses that are local here. And I'm like, I didn't know that. And it's given me a lot of ideas. So I'm grateful that you guys are doing this. And I think,
we're grateful for you.
Growing, so. Just keep at it. You're doing well.
Well, thank you so much.
No problem.
This seems like a great time to pause and tell everyone to subscribe so they will be notified of our next episode. It isn't like you have anything else to do, right?
Exactly.
Make sure to like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Stay healthy, everyone. And now back to our show.
Hannah, what did you think about this episode since you were the one that was here and I listened after?
No, I really enjoyed getting to know Noelle, and I'm so excited for her business and what she's, wanting to do. I can't wait to visit it. I feel like she's really trying to create something for artists to come and hang out and just really, be involved in the community and have live music. And I mean, as I always say, and I've got to say it for her, I'm always biased towards someone from West Virginia, but I just super enjoyed the conversation with her. It was actually a little over an hour and I had to condense it because, we had some conversations about the Real Housewives and we bonded and I cut, that stuff out.
I remember texting you checking in too, and you were still having such a great conversation.
Yeah. So we had a long conversation. So I'm just excited to see where she'll go and what she'll do. And I just super enjoyed the conversation. I hate that you missed it because I feel like it was, really, good. And, my dad's family, if you miss like a vacation or a trip with them or anything, they're always like, you miss the best time. So Rachel, you just missed the best time. And they always say that no matter what, so you'll never know if it truly was.
What happens if it was like the shittiest time too? What happens if you guys got lost in the woods?
Why were we in the woods?
I don't know, man. Who knows? Maybe you were, I don't know. You were looking for berries.
Yeah. But you were here. We're actually recording this before we record the ending with her. So we're all just kind of talking in future about what her true ending is going to be. But this comes after that. So it's kind of interesting because it's not happened yet, but it should happen in like 10 minutes. So it'll be interesting. But Rachel, what did you think about this episode?
Well, since you have the West Virginia saying, I'm going to do well. As you always say, I love people who involve themselves with the arts. So the fact that she is bringing all the people together within different types of art, like the metalworks, woodworking, including, having these spaces too to have different creativity, I think is pretty darn awesome. So, I will have to say also, I love that she's from West Virginia too. I just had to put my own spin and put the artsy thing because
she's actually from Kentucky.
Oh yeah, that's right. Kentucky. That's right. See, I listened to the episode 2 hours before this, guys. I am sorry. She's from Kentucky, but she's in West Virginia now though. And so I just think that's really cool in general. So she's just an honorary one, right? See, she's there now.
She's still West Virginian. And I think she was West Virginia.
Through and through. But. Yeah, so I just I just think it's really cool that it's just a lot of different creative businesses that would be involved with one another and to basically help. And I think what you guys were also talking about at the end too, giving her those ideas, maybe even if it's not just putting herself in a booth, right, but actually going to different people to be like, hey, here's a good gathering area that you guys could maybe want to have your own, I'll name it woodworking or something like that, to share your art and your craft with people. Here is a place to do it. So I thought it was really great idea that you were bouncing each other ideas off of each other too. So I thought that was great to hear that.
Yeah. Also, I saw some sad news on Facebook. So our last episode last year was about Drips Cafe on Main and like Drips Coffee. And it was with the owner, Robbie, and they actually closed this Friday. So that's really sad. And I wish Robbie the best. And I hope that whatever he does in his next chapter will be really great. But he like posted he just couldn't fund it with the pandemic. Just really, you know, he pretty much opened and then the pandemic hit. So he just couldn't make it, which makes me really sad because he was, you know, trying to pay people a livable wage and do some really great things.
Had many great ideas on everything too.
Yeah,
And I bet he's gonna be back in the future
again.
You know, he'll be back in the future with something too.
Yeah, but I always hate to see a small mom and pop business close
down. Same here, especially because I mean, just in general, I hate that. But in general, I also wanted to try the coffee because I'm a coffee fiend. So I'm just really. Yeah.
But well, I thought I would just let people know that that's some sad news. Yeah. And that was the end of – so that was about a year ago that we interviewed him. So trying not to end on a sad note. So – but we will be taking a break after this episode. So I will be traveling to another country of Greece and with my friend Abby, who I've mentioned a couple of times on here. So we'll be taking about a 3-week break and we'll be back for our final 2 episodes after that.
What I'd Like to Tell People is an independent podcast recorded and edited by us, Rachel and
Hannah. Our theme song is written and recorded by Sean Price.
Please like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube.
Make sure to subscribe to our show so you can receive the latest episode. Also, rate and review our episodes so we can receive more listeners.
Go to our website, www.whatidliketotellpeople.com. Find the link and more information in the episode notes.
Until next week.
And this was What I'd Like to Tell People.